Welcome to episode 147 of Podketeers. This week we talk about James Corden and some of the videos that he's doing, which include performances of Beauty and the Beast and The Lion King, and some of the songs that he sings from Moana with Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors as part of his carpool karaoke segments, which I'm not going to say that I'm totally jealous of, but I kind of want to do that. Also, we talk about Captain America continuing his quest to upset the children and adults of the world as his saga to Hail Hydra continues, and 9 new individuals will receive Disney's highest honor of legend at this year's D23 Expo. We'll tell you who they are. For more info, images, and video on these topics and other things that we talk about in this episode, head on over to the blog post over at podketeers.com/147. If you're looking for us on any of the social networks, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and on YouTube. Just search for Podketeers. We'd love it if you follow us, like us, and subscribe to us on those networks. Big thanks goes out to our fairy godparents, as always, for their additional support via Patreon. If you would like to join them and become a fairy godparent of our podcast, you could do so for as little as $1 per month, or even with a one-time contribution by heading over to patreon.com/podketeers, or by going to podketeers.com and clicking on the Patreon logo for more info. If you shop on Amazon, a great way to help us out is by clicking through our link at podketeers.com/amazon before your next purchase. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but we do get a small commission from Amazon every time you do that, kind of as a thank you for going through our link. And to everyone that's already using it, thank you guys very much for that additional support. All right, so that is actually going to be it from me. Let's jump into the podcast. Here's episode 147 of Podketeers. This is our podcast. It's about three guys that love Disney, technology, art, and food. This is Podketeers.
Did you guys see the article I sent you guys?
Which one? You sent a couple.
The one that's called The Disney Movie Ending They Didn't Show You.
Yes.
By Anna Fitzpatrick.
Yes. I thought it was pretty funny, actually.
I loved it.
You know,
Mario didn't like it, apparently.
I don't want to see these endings. Well, you know what? It's not about wanting to see the endings as much as it fits real life a little bit more. The reality is that when you're dating, you're on your best behavior, right? But then you move in, and then all of a sudden you start seeing things that like weren't necessarily there before.
Right.
And reality begins to sink in, right? And I think this is kind of that like reality base that you don't see in the happily ever after part. I thought they were pretty funny.
Did you even read them?
This is what you got from that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, look, but that's why fantasy exists. That's why I want to go to like my movies and get away from this reality.
Oh, I agree with that. But I think that's what made this funny to me, that it was a little bit more reality based than just the fairy tale.
Right. Exactly. Here. Watch. There's a few. You can pick whatever you want. There's a Beauty and the Beast different ending.
Let's do the Snow White one. Have you ever read Snow White?
All right. Hold on. Let me find it. Cinderella.
You have the article, Mario?
Yeah, I got it right here. So Javier's playing like all the roles?
No. Here. It's three people in this one. Okay. So like Javier mentioned, the article was written by Anna Fitzpatrick for The New Yorker. And she just kind of writes these like little scripts as like these alternate endings, right? So in the Snow White one, there is Snow White, which will be played by Javier. And we're just going to read this. We're going to read these directly as she wrote them in the article, right? I will be sneezy. And because Mario is so happy about this, we'll make him grumpy.
Perfect.
I'm ready.
All right, Javier.
All right. Do you want to do the narration at the very top?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Prince Charming kisses Snow White, awakening her from her deep slumber. She embraces him, delighted, and prepares to go off with him, happily ever after.
Well, this is where I leave you. Take care, Grumpy. Be well, Bashful. Keep in touch, Sneezy.
It's David.
What's that now?
My name. It's David. My allergies happen to flare up for like 2 days when you first got here. I actually haven't sneezed since.
But I thought your name was...
You're the only one who calls him that, lady. You really think that when he was born, his mom was like, ah, yes, Sneezy is the name for him. You think Steve's mom gave birth to him and thought, I should call this child Doc. You lived with us for 3 months. Did you bother to learn any of our names?
Now, Grumpy.
For the last time, my name is Randall.
So, I mean, you have to wonder.
But weren't they, like, engraved in the seats on the dining table?
No, it was on their headboards.
For their beds.
Oh, for their beds. Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, it proves it wrong. Right. But, I mean, in real life, there are situations like this, right? Where mm-hmm. you meet somebody, and no joke, I met somebody once, and this was at my old job, that for like 2 weeks, I was calling the wrong name, but because somebody had accidentally told me, you know, we had a conversation. I was like, oh, who's the new person? They told me a name, but I knew that there was a new person. They knew there was a different new person, so they gave me the name of the other person.
Ah.
And so I kept calling the new person I met by the other person's name, not knowing that that's what it was.
Yeah.
But they never corrected me. That was the crazy thing. So for like 2 weeks, I'm like, hey, how's it going, Bruce? And it wasn't his name, right?
You're like, you look like a Bruce.
No, he didn't. And that's what was like the most, I guess, disturbing part for them. But right. They never corrected me. Mm. So look, I guess the moral of the story is, if something like this happens, correct somebody. Tell them what it is.
But maybe, yeah. Maybe it was like one of those, story with the three bears? What's her name?
Goldilocks.
Where the Snow White, you know, went into the house and she engraved all the names on the bed.
That she thought it was?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
You look like a duck.
You're a nerd. All right. Well, we could put up a link to the article in the
blog post
for the episode. You guys want to check it out. Podketeers.com/147. They're not all based in the reality of the Disney versions of these stories.
Right.
As you can tell by the fact that the names were not actually changed, you know. But they were just pretty funny to read. So if you guys want to check them out, just click on the link to go through to that New Yorker article. Want to read a couple of listener comments from this
Sweet.
Last week? A couple
we have of listeners?
Yes, all 12 of them, dude. Remember? So there was a comment. You guys know we talked about some of the music. Mario brought up the Disney Metal album last week, which, by the way,
I haven't listened to it yet.
I listened to the whole thing this last week, and I've listened to it several times. Dude, love it.
Right?
I love it so much. Mm. It actually, if you guys didn't get a chance to read the article that I posted in the blog post for the last episode that gave a little bit more information on who the band members were and how it came to be. But Mario mentioned that he just noticed it recently, and that's because it hadn't been released in the United States. It was released in Japan first last year, and then this year
it was released. So you went to Japan?
No,
this year it got released here. That's why he just found out about it.
Oh, okay.
So when you found out, it had only been out for like a week.
Oh, here. Okay.
You know, that's why it was so brand new to you.
Oh, look at you, trendy.
Yeah.
Right?
That's me.
Uh-huh. Trendsetter.
Yeah.
So we also talked about that EDM album that you said, I heard there's an EDM album. I actually own that album.
You do?
Yes. It's the Deconstructed album.
Is that the cubed Mickey cover?
The cubed Mickey cover, yeah. And one of our listeners, Cecilia, actually reminded us about that on the Instagram account. It's like, I think the EDM album you guys are talking about is the Deconstructed album.
Hmm.
And I remembered it after. I was like, dude, I own this. One of my favorite tracks is actually on that album.
Which is?
It's the cover to the Main Street Electrical
Parade. Oh, yeah.
Surprise, surprise, right?
The Main Street Electrical Parade. I know, exactly.
The irony of the situation, right? As a matter of fact, I'll actually play a piece because I actually really enjoy that one. So check this out. Right?
Fantastic.
It goes to show how timeless this song is.
I know you've had that argument before. I'm just going to say.
Mario's a good dancer, though.
Yeah.
You're hating on my moves, I know.
The Mario shuffle.
There's no such thing.
Oh, there will be.
No. Although Hazen brought out his Dance Dance Revolution moves.
Yeah, hey. Right. Hey.
It goes with the music.
Oh, yeah. Step, step. Step, step. Don't make me bust the hands out. I really like it. It was a great album. The other comment was from listener Michelle. She actually left a comment in the blog post for the episode saying, "Hi, Podcateers. I really enjoyed your discussion in this episode about the various covers of Disney music. As an avid listener and festival goer of EDM, electronic dance music, so anybody that doesn't know, because I saw Javier had this blank stare.
Yeah.
So that's what it stands for.
Sounded like a cell phone company or something.
Relax, Grandpa. It's music. One of my favorite albums that was released last year was Star Wars Headspace. If you love Star Wars and upbeat music, I definitely recommend checking it out. The sound bites from Star Wars are used throughout the album, such as Darth Vader's classic breathing sound and R2-D2 sounds, as well as famous lines. These sound bites were released to DJ Cascade, and he got a group of fellow DJs together to produce this amazing album. My favorite track is Help Me by GTA. Give it a listen and let me know what you think. First of all, Michelle, thank you very much for those comments. We did get a chance to check it out.
We did.
I have to say that it is a great album. It's more of a like a chill out album than it is like hardcore right. EDM.
Made me want to put cucumbers on my eyes.
It didn't go that far for me. But that type of music is what I listen to when I'm working, mm-hmm. you know, just so that I can kind of zone out, especially if I'm editing or something like that. It play it in the background and it just helps.
Right.
Like relax you, right? Not cucumber relax, but it just helps you concentrate, in my opinion.
Right.
And I did check out Get Out. Not my favorite track. Mm-hmm. Only because I think Mario and I had the same like sentiment about this.
I just kept waiting for the beat to drop.
Yeah. That's how I felt too.
Such a tease.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Every time you felt that it was about to like really kick in, it just didn't. Yeah. It's a great song, don't get me wrong. Right. But I think I was so excited to hear that like pickup happen.
Right.
And it just didn't. I think I ended up enjoying Ewok Pump a little bit more.
That one was good.
That one wasn't bad. And what was the one that you liked? Mario?
Oh, the one they used the Cantina music
for. Yeah.
Yeah, Cantina Boys.
Cantina Boys? That one was really good, too.
That was good, too.
And even Javier was bopping his head to that one. And Javier
totally
hates EDM. Like, you should have heard him. Like, when we started listening to it to preview it. So, Javier. So Javier, we started playing it, and the first thing that comes out of Javier's mouth is, "What is this?
What is this noise?
What are you listening to? Stop, that's not music." Even Javier ended up liking the Cantina Boys song.
I did.
So we've made a little bit of progress with Pappy Javier.
And, he's evolving.
You know what? It actually surprised me when I heard it, though. Like, the whole album was actually pretty good as a whole.
Right.
Like I said, it was a little bit more chill out than I was expecting it to be. But I actually enjoyed that part of it. So if you guys want to check it out, totally recommend it. Michelle, thank you very much for the suggestion. Again, the album is called Star Wars Headspace with an exclamation point. So you're kind of screaming it like, Headspace!
Like how?
Headspace!
All right. So I don't know if you guys heard this, but Radio Disney Music Awards decided to create something called the Icon Award.
Okay.
So they're going to be giving it to a person who was just kind of like influential in just their own genre of music and was relevant to the Disney company. So this year, for the Radio Disney Music Awards,
This is their first one, right?
Yes. It's the very first one. Javier nailed it. They're giving it to Bob Iger.
Yes.
Stop talking.
Because Bob Iger's EDM album dropped.
Right? Exactly.
You should hear it, yo. It's banging. Yep.
It's like...
That was pretty good for someone who doesn't like EDM. That was dirty bass right there.
I know, dirty.
But I don't know if you know this, but Javier is secretly Skrillex.
Yeah, yes. Oh, dude, I could totally tell.
Yeah, can you tell now?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
So get ready for this, guys, all right? Hold on to your hats.
I'm ready. I have my hat.
I am happy to announce that the inaugural recipient
yes.
of the Radio Disney Music Awards Icon Award is going to be...
Okay. Wait, do we need a drum roll?
I think you should do it.
Okay, ready?
Ready?
Ready.
Britney Spears.
Why?
Why?
You got me.
Wow, all
right. Guys, I'm very confused right now, okay? Because don't get me wrong. She's in the music industry.
But is she, though?
Yeah, barely. I mean,
she doesn't sing live.
Well, a lot of music artists don't. That in itself cannot be the only reason somebody doesn't. I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings because when you think back to Baby One More Time, I mean, hey, Baby One More Time, right? Come on.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know what you're saying.
The video.
Oh, yeah.
You don't remember her first and only relevant song?
There was plenty of others that were relevant, but...
I disagree.
I think... why she's Wait. Kind of the first person to
Wasn't
receive
she
it?
A Mouseketeer?
Correct.
Right.
Oh,
But
that's
in
it?
That same class, though, there was at least two other people in the music industry that I would say give it to over Britney. Christina and Justin.
I agree. I agree. Look, it was just so weird. That exact same class had so many people that are just kind of like relevant to media.
But she has like more name recognition, though.
Does she?
I think she does.
I mean, how many Disney albums has Britney Spears appeared on? How many movies has she done music for?
Between zero.
Exactly, right? Mm-hmm. A big part of what made Mulan, I think, successful was the song that Christina sang.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so iconic to that film.
No, it's very true. As a matter of fact, look, this is the first version of this song that we heard for that movie. We didn't even hear Lea Salonga's version first.
Right.
Which, by the way, Lea Salonga, fantastic, amazing. But Christina made that song what it was.
Right.
And maybe it's because Justin did the Trolls movie.
Ooh. Maybe. And because, and because Christina has a Universal contract in it.
Maybe. Well, I don't know if Britney has a Disney contract either. But look, okay. Yeah, I get it. She was very relevant. She was a pop princess, you know, when she first came out. Britney coming out first and then Christina, you know, kind of rivaling her throughout that entire first part of their career was really big. But I wouldn't have chosen Britney. No offense, Britney. I mean, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? But I think... I would have, if it was my choice, I would have gone with either Christina or Justin as the first recipient.
I mean, exactly what you just said. Congratulations. More power to her. But, like, I would have even given it to Ryan Gosling at this moment. Come on, he just did, like, La La Land. You know what? Give it to Stephen Curry. He just did that, like, carpool karaoke recently.
Oh, that's right, with James Corden.
Yeah.
That was a funny clip, dude.
Dude, like, I don't know if, and have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I saw it.
So it's like... I mean, the guy does it all, apparently, you know? It's like, he's not just a great basketball player.
Did you see the entire clip where he kept beating James Corden at, like, everything?
At everything, yeah. He was better at, like, golf.
Yeah.
He was better at air hockey.
So there's a couple versions of this video floating around. There's the one where he's beating him at everything, right? And then there's just the carpool karaoke version.
Mm-hmm.
Carpool karaoke, dude, I love that concept.
Right?
Just all of the videos so far that James Corden has done with that, so entertaining. I kind of feel sad that he's not going to be in the lead for the new Apple version that's going to be on Apple TV.
What do you mean?
Yeah, they're doing it's Apple took the rights to the show so that they could produce their own original content for their Apple TV thing. But James Corden's not going to be at the helm. It's going to be a different person. I think the way, if I remember correctly, I'd have to look it up to verify. And if I'm wrong, I will correct it in the blog post. I think the way that it's set up is they're going to have actual music artists driving the car and other people with them trying to sing these songs.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. I could be wrong. If I am, I will correct it in the blog post.
They're going to ruin the show is what you're saying.
Sounds about right.
I kind of feel like it's not going to be the same. Like, no. James Corden is what like 95% makes that show, mm-hmm. right? You know, and why it's been so successful.
Yeah, he kind of brings the funny.
Yeah, yep. I mean, he's very charming, but the way that he owns it, mm-hmm. right? No matter what, like, look what he did a couple of weeks ago before the premiere of Beauty and the Beast.
Crosswalk Theater?
Dude, he owned the bell part of Crosswalk Theater. And if you guys haven't seen that clip, I will toss that up into the blog post for the episode too.
Find the one with the Lion King too.
Oh, that was so good too. So the Lion King one, if it's up, the Crosswalk Theater for Beauty and the Beast, and the Stephen Curry Carpool mm-hmm, Karaoke, mm-hmm. I will throw all up in the blog post for the episode. Check them out. Super hilarious. I think I want to do Carpool Karaoke with James Corden.
Me too.
And if I can't do it, I'll settle for Javier.
This one's more likely.
I'm down. Yep. I'm totally down.
That should be us. We should find a good song for all of us to sing.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's make sure it's a legend, Britney Spears.
A nice Britney Spears. Yes. Love it.
Yes.
It's like, hit me, baby, one more time. That's totally me trying to sing.
On key.
Yeah. You nailed it.
Oh, thanks, man. Nailed it. Thanks.
Hey, totally off topic. Mm-hmm. Remember back in episode, I want to say it was like 102, we talked about Captain America and his whole like Hail Hydra moment.
Do I?
It was your favorite part, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's what established Captain America as the true villain that he is, mm-hmm. Team Stark. So there has been obviously a series of other comics that have come out since then.
Oh, it didn't end there?
No, it didn't end there. It was part of a new series.
They thought this story was amazing and kept going with it?
You know what? Apparently they did, because there's a new comic that's going to be released April 20th, and the cover looks kind of spectacular. I'll throw up the image in the blog post if you guys want to see it, podcasters.com/147.
I want to see it now.
Okay, here, I'm going to show you a photo of it, because you can't wait because you're a crying baby. I mean, so you know what it looks like. But this is the cover to Secret Empire number 0.
All right. Ooh.
It is Captain America standing with like these explosions and stuff behind right. him. And the Captain America logo has been torn off of his outfit to reveal a Hydra logo.
Public enemy.
Da, da, da.
Yeah.
And so it's no surprise, you know, we talked about it and Mario told us like the week right after Mario's like, oh yeah, he was brainwashed and stuff like that. So this may contain a little bit of spoilers if you were interested in reading it. And if you don't care about it, then, you know, here you go.
Like most of us.
Like most of you. Basically, what it comes down to is it wasn't that he was brainwashed, right? Mm-hmm. The story revolves around how his reality basically changed. Like, it was actually a different reality for him. And in this reality, they play this, like, what-if game. Like, what if Hitler won the war?
Okay.
And that's kind of what this revolves around. And instead of Red Skull leading Hydra, it's actually Steve Rogers that leads it.
Mm.
So instead of him being Captain America, he's like just like Steve Rogers, the leader of Hydra.
Right.
And part of this comic is how he's actually planning on taking over the world.
Is this like some sort of fifth dimension kind of thing or what?
No, not necessarily fifth dimension. But what really caught my eye as far as why I wanted to watch it, and there's a whole story around this. So if you guys want to read it, it's actually a really good read. I would recommend getting it.
Right.
The print publication comes out April 27th. But it got released digitally for people to read. The thing that got me about the storyline originally was that the reason this reality changes, you got to go read the story. I won't ruin any more of it. But the reason it changes is because the person or thing, I'm not going to say what it was, thought, you know what? Steve would be a lot happier if he was leading Hydra.
Ooh, see, I like this.
Right?
Yes.
So that's kind of what it revolves around. And I thought, this is a crazy twist on Captain America.
Right.
And eventually, you know, they'll probably go back and he'll somehow realize or whatever, because they're running basically parallel, right? It's not, he's not brainwashed. It's basically mm-hmm. a brand new reality. It's a new timeline. And eventually something might happen that triggers something that made him remember his old timeline. And, you know, they'll eventually go back. It's a comic book. Nobody ever dies in comic books and nobody ever, like, fully goes into these states without reverting back, right?
So being a new timeline, you're saying it's not technically really happening then?
No, it's happening.
It's
happening.
They just reset the timeline.
Yeah. And all of that is going to get explained as part of the comic book, but I just thought it was a really interesting twist, the way that they've continued to go along with this whole, like, Hail Hydra thing that they introduced at the end of last year. If you guys are comic book nerds, you know, check it out. Secret Empire is the name of the new comic that's coming out.
And why are we nerds, man? Why are we nerds?
Yeah, seriously. What do you got against?
You mean comic book cool dude peoples?
Comic book enthusiasts?
I'm sorry. As Javier would say, comic book connoisseur.
That's exactly how he would say it, too.
That is exactly how. Good job, man.
Well, I know. I speak French now. So, if you guys are into comics, uh-huh. How about that?
There you go. All right, much better. Better. Okay, much good. Better.
Okay, so if you guys are into comics,
or comic nerd,
check it out.
Here's the thing, man. As a comic book nerd, I can call myself a nerd.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can't call me one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So the publication is going to be available April 27th. If you guys want to pick up a print copy, so give it a read. Let us know what you guys think. Leave a comment in the blog post if you guys check it out and give us your thoughts on it. Dude, I wonder if Captain America is going to be there next month when the Guardians come out. I know they said that they were going to keep the
as Hydra. Beats.
I don't think it'll be as Hydra, but I know for a fact that I think it's May 27th. Once the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout Tower opens, Star-Lord's going to be around for meet and greets. Mm-hmm. Gamora's going to be around. Groot's going to be around. But I wonder if they're going to keep the Captain America and the Spider-Man ones in the same area.
They're going to have an actual raccoon just walking around.
The big gun just walking around California Adventure. It'll be interesting. I'm excited for the new meet and greets. You know, since we're talking about DCA, Fast Pass is available at Toy Story Mania, finally.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo!
So this last Thursday was the official launch of the Fast Pass system at Toy Story Mania. We know we've talked about it in previous episodes.
That ride is so fun.
It is. And it's also one of the longest wait times.
Like, long overdue. Like, yeah. This was totally necessary for this ride.
But when you have good company, the time goes fast.
No, that's fair, but it's just like you can enjoy your good company walking around the boardwalk, you know,
right?
Having some lobster nachos.
That's why I never go with you, Mario.
I agree with him. That's why I go with Disney for two instead of Javier.
Ooh, that lobster nachos. Have you tried it with just steak? So good.
So you're getting steak nachos.
Yes, much better than the lobster that they offer.
So why do you pay the lobster nacho price to get steak nachos?
Because it tastes better. So delicious.
Dude, seriously though?
But I still want them to call it lobster nachos.
Dude, like, no joke. Have you had the churros with steak instead of a churro? What is the matter with you?
Fair enough.
I love how there was that like split second. I love how he was just kind of like, oh wait, yeah, that's happening.
I don't care, man. The steak nacho's so good.
So Toy Story Mania finally has a Fast Pass, and along the same token, the Matterhorn finally has a Fast Pass over at Disneyland.
Oh, already?
Yeah, they finally enabled that as well.
Is it still breaking your back though?
I mean, it's the same attraction,
same
roller coaster. You know, not much has changed.
You just ride it faster now.
You can just ride it. You know, yes. You can get on and break your back faster.
Oh, I love that.
And the really good thing is that they actually enabled the FastPass system in the Disneyland app now. So you can get FastPasses through the app.
Get out of here.
Here's the caveat. $10.
Wait, hold on.
We talked about
this. Hold on.
MaxPass, right?
Wait, I got to look up the word caveat. Is that food? Is that little baby fish?
It is.
Eggs?
It is baby fish eggs. Good for you, Javier.
Thank you.
Yeah, but with steak instead of eggs.
So we talked about the Disney Max Pass several episodes ago and how it was coming. It's $10 a month. That is the introductory rate. Remember that.
Jump on it now then.
It may actually change. But you are capable of getting the digital Fast Passes. You can't get it for shows yet. But you can get it for attractions, which is a good thing. So Disneyland is actually working on creating the infrastructure for the rest of the attractions to be able to use the MaxPass technology. Okay. So you're not going to see very many things available at that point. But at least we know that it's finally coming. You know, and this kind of goes back to the other conversations that do you want to use a magic band? Do you want to use a magic band to get sure on a...
I do not.
I know you don't.
No.
But it also goes along with what we said about, you know, using the app itself to get your fast passes, getting into the park. And it's very central because your phone is what you have with you all the time.
Right? Until it dies.
Right. The only thing that I would say, and Disney, since you're listening, since you've taken so many of our ideas.
Exactly.
I would say you need to alter the app so that more than one person can register their children's annual passes. One of the biggest challenges we have right now is that my wife registered our son's passes, so she can swipe through hers to see all three of theirs, but I can't see theirs. And when I try to register them in my app with my login, it says these are already registered to somebody else. So somehow create a family link the way that you've kind of already done with the fast pass, or I'm sorry, with the photo pass, because when she does photo pass, they appear in my photo pass too, which is good.
Right.
So now we just need to create a link for family so that if you have kids, especially, everybody can see their passes.
I have an idea.
Just throwing it out there.
I have an idea. Disney should be a little more family centric.
You know what? I'll talk to Bobby.
Okay, good.
I'll talk Thank to you. Bobby.
That is a great idea. Mario, stop looking at me like that.
I was wondering when you were going to see that.
I saw it through the corner of my eye. Like, I actually prefer looking at you, Hazen, over Mario right now.
Oh, hey, hello. Please, all right, then.
Someone put this out on the internet. That look you make when Javier says something stupid.
You ever seen that meme where the guy is just like, huh? With question marks all over him? Yeah.
That's Javier.
That's the one. Yeah.
So that's officially out. Tokyo Disney finally broke ground on their expansion plans, which is really cool. This last week, the announcement was made that the expansion, which is set to last until about 2020, finally happening. They're expanding it to like a Beauty and the Beast section. So they're going to have Belle's House. They're going to have Gaston's Pub.
Really?
Beast Castle is also going to be part of it. They're also going to have something called Minnie Mouse Design Studio as a part of it.
Interesting.
They're going to have a new attraction in Tomorrowland based on Big Hero 6.
Really?
Which is pretty cool that they're actually doing something with their Tomorrowland. It's the biggest expansion that they've had since the opening of Tokyo Disney Sea back in 2001. And it's, I mean, that park is really nice already to begin with, you know,
it's even too
Tokyo
nice.
Disney Sea. I actually really like it. Like, it's one of my bucket list items to actually visit, well, even Walt Disney World at this point. But it's a beautiful park, you know, and the expansion of these, I'm kind of jealous that they're going to have an actual section for Belle. Walt Disney World already has some of these things, like Be Our Guest, and they have things that are actually like Beauty and the Beast that don't like leave. Like ours, the Red Rose Tavern isn't there forever. It's only a part of an overlay that they're doing for a little while. It's a limited time thing, but it would be nice to have something Beauty and the Beast at Disneyland aside from the theater. You know, they have the little show that they do, but it would be nice to have something more attraction based. But you know, none of my business.
Well, I mean, it also
sounds... I sip my tea.
It also sounds like they have all their, like, Tomorrowland kind of, like... It goes in the right direction with them, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel we still don't have kind of, like, control over the things we can put into Tomorrowland fully yet, you know?
Well, we don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because, you know, being Imagineers...
Oh, of course.
It's science, right?
Exactly. No, I mean, Javier has the answer to everything.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Yeah.
Come to me when you have a question.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Good to know.
But did you hear the rumor that was going around that they were thinking about bringing the Light Cycle ride to America?
Wait, what?
Yeah, where? Tron's like Light Cycle ride.
Wait, what?
They wanted to bring it to both Disneyland and Disney World.
Yeah, I got an article from that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
With science?
With science?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where would they put this? Well, that's my question, too. Because if you think about it, would it fit in Tomorrowland? No, because they're redoing it all as Wall-E, remember?
Oh, that's right. Uh-huh. That's in the development.
Yeah. Oh, wait, sorry. Take two. They're redoing it all as Stark Expo.
That's right. To be released 2029.
This is obvious evidence.
That is not true, by the way. I don't want to throw that out there. I just want to say that is me being hopeful.
Hey, why can't we be someone to predict something?
Both of those options are me being super hopeful that they would redo Tomorrowland with something as futuristic as Wall-E, considering it takes place so many years in the future, or Stark Expo. Just saying.
Or it happens tomorrow. Tomorrowland. Here's the evidence that Disneyland actually listens to the podcast because they heard your terrible ideas and said nope.
Yep, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can get on board with that one. Because think about it. Why aren't your ideas in the park?
Hazen's totally giving me that look now. Okay. Uh-huh.
Now look. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Back on topic.
This is why Disney takes my ideas and make it happen and Mario's ideas and makes them happen.
Like when he told them, hey, take the lobster out of these nachos
and just make them steak.
Put steak in them.
But call them lobster nachos. But call them
lobster.
Golden.
And let me pay $6 more for them.
Now look, I wasn't huge on the movie Tron. I wasn't huge on the remakes. I may not even watch the one Jared Leto's going to be in.
Super great soundtracks, though.
True. But the ride is pretty cool looking. Like, we've seen the ride through, and it's pretty fantastic.
I would love to have that here.
Personally, if we are going to have it here, though, you're right. I mean, it probably doesn't belong in Tomorrowland. I would throw it in California Adventure, just because California Adventure has had the taste of Tron before. And who knows? Maybe it'll bring Electronica back.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they do have a little bit more space to do something like... Wait a second. Are we just going to gloss over that you said you're not going to watch something Jared Leto's in?
It's Tron, dude.
I think you mean MTV Movie Awards nominated Jared Leto.
That's much more relevant than an Oscar. Yes.
Yeah, because those mean everything.
Yeah, dude.
That means as much as that Oscar win that Suicide Squad won.
Is he going to get a Teen Choice Awards too, dude? That, like, surfboard?
Oh, he hopes so. He wants to get slimed.
Yeah, dude. I hope he gets it. Yeah. Anyways.
I do agree with you, though, that if something like this did come to the parks, it would be better suited for California Adventure. And who knows? Maybe they would kind of open up the area of Tron a little bit more. But... Tomorrowland, you know, we keep talking about this over and over. Tomorrowland is just in a need. It has a need to be upgraded, you know. But
I feel like they throw more of the thrill attractions at California Adventure. I mean, we still have, like, Big Thunder.
Yeah,
you know, Space Mountain still, you know. But I feel like all the thrill stuff, like, they're trying to throw it towards California Adventure. And that's what the Light Cycle ride is.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be interesting. I would love to see them bring that type of attraction over to the U.S.
Yep.
Because it's more likely that I'll write it here before I actually go write it.
I should probably watch the movie. I've never watched
it. I like them. Mario doesn't like them.
You've never seen, like, Tron?
I've never seen the original or the remake.
Oh, dude. Wait, you like Citizen Kane, though, huh?
Yeah, I love Citizen Kane.
Oh, I don't love Tron.
I love Citizen Kane, dude.
Oh, that's why you love Tron.
What?
Really?
I don't even know how that makes sense.
Dude, I'm just saying they're the same slow tempo? Pace cinematography. No,
I like them, dude.
A slow tempo, but it's fine. Not all movies have to be fast-paced, bro.
We live in, like, a technological age where everything has to be delivered quickly.
Mario.
Spoiler alert. Mario. It was a sled. Mario. Let's move on.
Mario. Mario. You're Mario. Sure. Mario, slow down, bro. Get on a sled. You spoiled it.
Like a year later.
You jerk.
Oh, man.
Delete all that.
So anyway, so that's happening. Again, I would love to see that type of attraction come to California Adventure. But let us know what you guys think. Do you think that would fit at California Adventure? Do you think it would fit better in Tomorrowland? And if it does fit in Tomorrowland, what would you get rid of? Because there's not a lot of things that you can get rid of. You can't run it between Star Tours and, you know, where the Axiom, I mean, Interventions is, you know, because you have Space Mountain. So unless you make the light cycles scream through Space Mountain somehow and integrate it into the show, then maybe they can do an electronica overlay on Space Mountain, or the light cycles turn off as you're going through Space Mountain. All right, well, I'm just throwing the ideas out there.
I'll pencil it down. Okay.
Yep. Thanks, buddy.
I'll put it in a refrigerator.
Thanks. Put a pin on it, right?
Yes.
All right, well, you know, since we're talking about Tomorrowland, you know, not as light of a topic, obviously, but I think we should talk about and pay our respects to an Imagineer that recently passed away, George McGinnis. He passed away at the age of 87 this last week, and George McGinnis is the last Imagineer that Walt Disney himself hired.
Wow, you know, really?
To work on the parks. And he was a show designer for a lot of different projects while he was there. He worked on Space Mountain, which is, you know, what we were just talking about a little bit ago. He worked on the Carousel of Progress. He worked on the Mighty Microscope that was part of Adventures Through Inner Space. And I think right before he retired, the last thing that he worked on was like the vehicle system for Indiana Jones.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, he worked on stuff in both parks, you know, Disneyland and at Epcot, you know, but he recently passed away. And, you know, I think we owe a lot to all of the Imagineers, you know, not just him, but it was a really good time in Tomorrowland's, you know, like, I don't want to call it like the heyday of Tomorrowland, but back when those attractions were around, it kind of was, right? You know,
out of the box, you know, right. So long ago.
Especially here, like, we saw so many attractions go away. Like, Walt Disney World still has their People Mover. You know, we've lost the Rockets. We've lost the People Mover. And, you know, now we don't even have Interventions. We don't have the Carousel of Progress because it, you know, went over. So, again, don't want to really call it like the heyday, but it kind of was the heyday of Tomorrowland. And, you know, we just want to send our condolences to Mr. McGinnis's, you know, family and friends. Also, along the same token, unfortunately, this last week, we also lost Don Rickles. Don Rickles, you know, made an impact in the comedy world, you know, as being really kind of a dirty comic, you know, for his time.
Right.
He was very edgy, you know, for the types of jokes that he did. You know, obviously Don Rickles inspired a lot of today's comedians and that racy humor. But, you know, he's one of the only people that's on record is actually making like Nancy Reagan smile, you know,
wow.
Because he actually performed at the inauguration for Ronald Reagan. And at the performance, he started joking about, you know, the president and the first lady. And, you know, she was very serious lady. You know, she was very serious about her role and just in general. And, you know, some of the stuff that he was saying actually made her crack up, you know. And that's kind of a feather in somebody's hat if you could do that to somebody that's so serious.
Exactly.
Yep. That's how you know that you're really good at your craft, right? And
like me.
Like you, exactly. You make yourself laugh all the time.
All the time. You know? I love myself.
But, you know, Don Rickles is best known to a lot of younger Disney viewers as Mr. Potato Head in the Toy Story series. So, you know, again, we send our condolences to Mr. Rickles' family and friends. Two people that were very important to the Disney family, you know, left this last week. But, you know, it comes with time, you know, unfortunately, you know, things like this happen. And, you know, we're seeing it now with the Disney Legends, you know, the nominees.
Yeah.
You know, the Disney nominees for D23 finally came out. And I was happy to see that Carrie Fisher was actually one of the first nominees that they named.
Well, right. No way.
I was pretty happy about that.
That's cool.
Yeah. So the nominees actually include Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill. Of course, you know them for the roles that they played as part of the Star Wars series. Mm-hmm. Stan Lee was one of the next honorees.
Really?
Yeah. I've had several people ask me this last week, like, why Stan Lee? It's like,
what?
Why not Stan Lee?
Why not?
Lee? Marvel is a part of Disney.
Give me names.
I'll give them to you. I'll give them to you on the side.
All right, thanks.
But, you know, my response was, why not Stan Lee?
Right.
You know, Marvel is a part of Disney now.
Yeah.
And even though they don't have all of Marvel because
Sony.
Yeah, because Sony and Fox still own some of the rights to some of the characters. Look at the impact that the Marvel Universe has had for Disney. You know, you're seeing it in the parks. Look at all the money that it's made for them as part of the MCU. So why not Stan Lee? Yeah, it's long overdue at this point, I think.
The next time somebody asks you that question, you need to respond, because of his amazing cameo appearances. Just leave it at that.
Exactly.
That's upsetting.
Yeah.
I'll even give Stanley. It to Stanley.
You should. Stanley who?
Give it to Fred's dad. Oprah Winfrey is another one of the nominees this year that's going to be receiving the Disney Legends Award. They are, I think, the top of the bill as far as
who's going to be receiving. Sounds like a great ceremony so far.
And I guess Gary Marshall, too. Gary Marshall would be kind of a...
Right.
But I think that for the Disney Legends, there isn't, like... It's not like the WWE Hall of Fame where they have, like, a class and there's, like, one person that they highlight. Person,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's evident with the fact that, like, Clyde Geronimi is one of the people that's being honored this year as well. He was one of the directors on Cinderella, Alice in Wonderland, Peter Pan, Sleeping Beauty.
Ah, why don't you just say Deuteronomy?
Because I knew you would have gotten it there.
Oh, okay.
That would have just, that would have just made it, right?
Yeah.
He's one of the people being honored this year. Former Imagineer Wayne Jackson is also going to be honored. When he started with Imagineering, he worked on things like the New York World's Fair. He also was one of the pioneers that was instrumental in working on the audio animatronics that ended up in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, very nice.
And in the Haunted Mansion. So he's going to be honored. Julie Taymor is also going to be awarded the Disney Legend Award this year. She's an Emmy, Grammy, Tony, an Oscar winning / nominated. Like, she's gotten all sorts of awards and nominated for a bunch of stuff. She's best known for the adaptation of The Lion King, you know, back in 1997 on Broadway. So it kind of changed the face of how these films were being adapted into stage shows, which I'm sure was the inspiration to many other shows. Like, Wicked had a lot of that same type of element. That's not really Disney, right? But I'm sure it inspired everything else that came. The Beauty and the Beast show that came after was very inspired by how they did The Lion King. And they've just gotten bigger and bigger, down to the Frozen show, Live at the Hyperion.
Right.
You know, that's very Broadway-esque. You know, and it's not something that you would have seen had The Lion King not really set the trend. Artist Manuel Gonzalez also is getting a Disney Legend Award this year. He was one of the people that took over the penciling duties of the Mickey Mouse comic strip back in the day. So, like, late 1930s, I think, is when he took over.
Wow.
And I think he's one of the only recipients to receive an award from Walt himself called the Mouse Car Award.
Really?
Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Mouse what?
Mouse car.
Car, like car,
like,
car?
Yeah, like Mickey Mouse's car, yeah. Mm. So he's one of the very few to receive that award directly from Walt.
Wow.
Which is really cool. So it's a really good class.
It sounds like it.
It's a lot of really great names. And, you know, the cool thing about learning about what happens in the park is that there's a lot of names that are very mainstream, you know, as far as Imagineers. Like, obviously you heard the name Tony Baxter. Now you hear the name Tony Baxter, and like now you know, oh, Tony Baxter, absolutely, Imagineer, right? Bob Gurr, Imagineer, right? Mm-hmm. Rolly Crump, Imagineer. Like now you're starting to see some of the newer names, right? Like Joe Rohde, like almost everybody knows who Joe Rohde is.
Right.
And a lot of it has to do with like the exposure that they get as part of some of the projects that they work on. But then there's all these other Imagineers in the Disney company that make this huge impact on what you see whenever you go to the parks, whenever you see films, whenever you see the plays that sometimes you don't know about. You know, like I can already tell you, like mark my words, Lin-Manuel Miranda will be a Disney legend.
Absolutely.
Because of the impact he's made. He will be a Disney legend one day. It may not happen like at the next D23, like in the next couple or something, but mark my words, he will be a Disney legend.
It's interesting because I was just reading recently, I don't know if you knew, but he was actually brought onto the project for The Little Mermaid.
Was he?
Yeah.
No, that's actually cool.
So like he's just saying like this is like the most nerve-wracking thing he's done so far because it's like that's a lot of pressure. You know what I'm saying? Remaking The Little Mermaid into like this live-action thing. It's like this could either flop really bad and he can look like a total loser, and everything he's done prior to that's like not gonna mean anything. But I'm like, dude, you're Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're gonna totally like pull this off.
So
like,
he better not screw up, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't screw up.
He's saying,
or you will be forgotten.
That's what he's saying.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's gotta be crazy intense pressure for that.
I bet, exactly.
Like you said, it's going to either flop or it's gonna be super phenomenal. But you know, the thing about all the stuff that he's done before was nobody really forced him to write it, you know, and that's the thing about creativity, that creativity is not something like, boom, do this. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't force it.
Right.
You know, it's just got to blossom on its own, right? And so I can understand the pressure that he's under, but yeah.
It's easy. It's fine.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Science. So yeah, it's a great group of people that are getting the Disney Legend Award. I hope that I'm able to go to the ceremony this year. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys have heard my stories if you guys have been listening for a while about previous D23 times that I've tried to watch that.
Yes.
And then my heartbreaking story about how I didn't get a chance to see Steve Jobs get awarded mm-hmm. the Disney Legend Award.
Right.
It still gets me, man. Let's move on. Still gets me.
You gonna tell me who the Steve guy is, or
one day I'll tell you.
All right, thanks.
One day. So yeah, we'll put up an entire list of all the people that are going to be receiving the Disney Legend Award in the blog post for the episode, along with a brief description for each one. You know, actually, D23 had a super good write-up on each one of them. I'll either link to it or I'll just post what they posted, because it was, like I said, it was a wonderful brief write-up of every one of the honorees. So I'll put that in the blog post if you guys are wondering about any of them. So, I think that's going to wrap it up for this week, guys.
No.
No?
What? No, we need more.
Do we?
More Disney.
More Disney. More Disney. More Disney. More Disney. More Disney. More Disney. More Disney. More
Disney. Skrillex.
Yep.
Yes.
All right, guys, before we wrap up this episode, we want to remind you that Podcateers is brought to you by listeners just like you.
Like you.
And if you guys want to help us out, you can do so by becoming one of our fairy godparents by visiting us over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/podcateers. Or by going to podcateers.com and clicking on the Patreon logo for as little as $1 a month. You too can become a fairy godparent, and
very possible.
It helps us out a lot on a monthly basis. So
we need that goal, that $1 trillion goal.
$1 trillion goal.
Yeah. We're getting there. We're almost there.
We're getting there. We're almost there.
70% of our goal.
We're still waiting for Bob Iger to visit us on there. He's been a little busy, but you know, I know he's going to be popping up.
Right.
And, you know, exactly. dropping a little something.
He's
there.
Just, you know. Maybe his secretary hasn't got to that yet, you know.
Right. It's on the agenda, you know.
But yes,
right now, with the whole extension of his contract, he's been like really busy,
right. So, which is understandable.
It's cool. I mean, it's totally cool. I get it. Bobby, I gotcha. All right. You know, speaking of actually hitting one of our goals, you know that we're almost at 2,000 people on our Instagram account?
Really?
Yeah, we're like just over 1,700. And I remember thinking like, man, it's going to be so cool when we finally hit 2,000. So, we're already past that. We're almost 20 years past that. So if you guys know anybody that would enjoy following us on Instagram, or if you guys have any friends that you want to commandeer their phones and just kind of, you know, sign them up so that they're following us, let them know. We want to hit at least 2,000 people on Instagram.
2,000.
You know, we're so close. It's going to be so cool.
2,000.
You guys notice all our songs sound the same?
No, we added the brrrr.
Hey, go mix it up.
If you guys can help us out, it would be awesome if we could hit 2,000 on Instagram.
Podcasters2k on Instagram.
You can also follow us on Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. Just search for Podcasters. You can follow us over on YouTube. If you guys like the videos, make sure to subscribe to the channel and hit that little bell icon that's in the subscription area.
Bell.
Yeah, there's like a little bell notification icon because they keep changing the algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
The little bell will alert you anytime that there's a new video. And as we are working towards a consistent schedule of posting videos on our YouTube channel, you may miss some of the posts. So make sure that you hit the little bell so you get a notification every time that we post something.
So you're saying we need more bell.
I love it.
Well done.
Good.
Well done.
Good.
I love it. Yes, we do. If you guys can follow us on there, that would be great. If you guys shop on Amazon, another great way to support the podcast is by heading over to podcasters.com/Amazon.
First.
Wow, you missed the last one, too. It's kind of a sleeper. Yeah.
When?
It's okay. Like right now.
I'm texting.
Yeah, that's the problem. Before you make your next purchase on Amazon, it would help us out a lot if you guys go through our special link. Just head over to podcasters.com/Amazon first and hit the big Amazon button.
Big Amazon.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. That basically tells Amazon that you would like to give us a small commission from your next purchase as a thank you for going through our link. It doesn't cost you anything extra to do
that. Not at all.
But
just your time.
Just a few extra seconds of your time. But it definitely helps us out at the end of the month. So to everybody that's already doing that, thank you guys very much for the added support. And anything else from you guys?
Don Rickles, the best angry potato.
The best angry potato.
Mm-hmm.
He will be missed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay, guys. So if there is nothing else, time to wrap it up. So until next week, here is to beers, cheers, and Mickey ears. Have a fantastic week, everybody.
Peace out.
Rosebud.
Oh, how. Oh. I'm changing my timeline.
In the year 2000, it's the year 2017.